morning. Hearty welcome to the Lord's house as we celebrate this day the Lord has given us. We follow the service as printed this morning during the season of Lent. As we prepare for our Easter celebration, we withhold the sharing of peace until Easter morning. Again, service as printed. Our opening hymn is 611, and as our help enables us, we will stand for the last verse. Forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we have not rejoiced in suffering, but have given up peacefully. We have lacked integrity and acted shamefully, and we have even despaired of life itself. Have mercy upon us and reconcile us back to you, so that we may rejoice once more on account of Jesus. Amen. At just the right time, while we were still weak and ungodly, Jesus Christ died for us and reconciled us to God. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We are forgiven and are at peace.
Please turn your hearts and ears to the reading of God's Word this day. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." This is the word of the Lord. Read together responsively our supporting psalm, the middle portion of Psalm 22. "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from them. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. For kingship belongs to the Lord. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Posterity shall serve him. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. The epistles from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. As your health enables, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. If anyone would come after me,
please be seated, and I invite the children to come forward with this morning's children's message.
It's the help people remember grace.
Joseph. I was named after my two grandfathers. Then I realized later on that Granddaddy Bob wasn't really my granddad. My granddad died when my dad was 7 years old. And his name was Charles Wesley Pace. Well, my brother was Charles Ray Jr. So Charles was already my brother's name, so they called me, so Granddaddy Bob, they gave me Robert. And my mom's dad, Joseph Lingle, I was named after my two grandfathers. Robert Joseph, that's my name. And I wrote, you know what Robert means? It means of great fame. Why are you laughing? The same reason those grown up back there are smiling. I have great fame. That's what my name means. Sometimes we pick names because we like them. My two boys are named certain names because that's what Miss Jane wanted to call them. It's not what I wanted to call them, but I didn't get my way. Ryan and Jacob are their names. That's not what I wanted. I wanted difference. Names are important. If you don't know the meaning of your name, you can look it up. What does Augustus mean? What? That's Gus. That's his name. Did you not know his name was that? It's not Gus. It's Augustus, right? Yeah.
What does difference if somebody is higher than the other person?
That is right. No, it's Caitlin. Yeah, but you don't come a Kate. Yeah. So we learn what our name, you can learn what your name means. Don't go there. But God has given us a name. What is your name? What name has God given you? No, what name has God given you? What name has God given you? No, what name has God given you? Well, that's your parents' name. What name has God given you? No? How about Christian? Oh! God gave Abram a new name. Abram means father. Abraham means father of many. He gave Sarai a new name, Sarah. Sarai means my princess. Sarah means princess. Not just for Abraham, but for a lot of people. God gave, in our baptism, God gave us the name Christian. That is an extreme privilege. And you know what comes with privilege, right? What comes with privilege? Responsibilities. Yeah, we don't like that word. We just want the privilege. We don't want the responsibilities. But God gives us the name Christian. When the Father looks at you, he sees his son. He doesn't see you for who you are. He sees us for whose you are. You belong to him because of what God has done for you in the waters of your baptism. I have family. If you watch me closely, whenever we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what do? I make the sign of the cross. Not a Catholic thing to do. It's a Christian thing to do. But you know what I'm saying when I do that? I'm not saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm saying I am baptized. That's what I do. I am baptized. What does that mean? I am God's child. I have his forgiveness. I have his peace. I have his life. But then it also reminds me, am I living it? Am I walking it in it? It is a comfort to me, but it's also a reminder that I live in the joy of peace. Who you are is who God made you in. The name that's eternal, Robert Joseph, will not last for eternity. Christian will. That's the name that God has placed upon us in our baptism. We are part of his family. We are part, and we have his promises. Being his baptized children, we have that promise. We have that privilege. We have that responsibility now to live as his child. Trusting in him, not in ourselves. Looking to him, not looking to ourselves. Receiving from him, not giving to him, thinking that he owes us now because of what we do. What he does for us. He has given us all that new name. Let's pray. Everyone join in. Dear Lord,
in
my baptism, Turn your pews. We sing the hymn of the day at 7:08.
Thank you.
with traffic on both sides, no way to pass, and the trip takes you that much longer? How about a shortcut to trying to fix something at home or on the car? You think you have an aha experience, but then it breaks again. Now it's going to cost you even more money the second time. Shortcuts don't normally work. In our text today, which brings in the context of the previous chapters of Genesis for proper exegesis, we have Abram's desire to have a man-made shortcut. He wants to do things his way. He's figured out how to have it here. I mean, after all, he's 99 years old. He and Sarai are not going to have any children. It's just too late. So Abram has a plan to get an heir. And the way he's thinking is, hey, look, God, my plan allows you to save face. Abram wants Ishmael to be his heir. Ishmael is his son, not from Sarai, but from Hagar. Abram loves Ishmael. He practically begs for this. In verse 18, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Abram is a realist. He understands biology. He knows that he and his wife are too old to have a son. So, Lord, just make Ishmael the heir of all the promises. That is his fervent wish. That is his clear answer to his problem. We see clearly the weak faith of Abram and Sarai. Abram doubts that God can still keep his promises and provide him with an heir. That would be impossible. That would be too much to ask. So Abram takes matters into his own hands. He wants to fix the problem. He thinks he has the perfect solution. Just let me do it my way this time, Lord. Sound familiar? We often operate the same way. It's human nature. Fallen human nature. We have problems in life. Contrary to what Osteen and others lie about, everybody has problems. But we are the people of God. So we know what to do with our problems. We go to the Lord in prayer. We pour out our heart to Him. We tell Him we believe in His promises. But as soon as the amen is spoken, before the echo of that word wanders off into the air, we begin looking for our own solutions, our own answers, the way we think the problem should be solved. And just like that, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's fear. He comes to strengthen his faith by speaking to him the promises of the covenant. If Abram thought it was impossible, unbelievable, that he and his wife could have a child of their own in their old age, he must have been astonished at the unbelievable promises that God made to him. First, there's the name change. Abram to Abraham. Why? Because the father will now be the father of a multitude of nations. And as I told the kids, Sarai, meaning my princess, in relationship to Abraham, to Sarah, meaning princess, because she would no longer just be Abraham's princess, she would be the princess, the mother of many nations. God will not work his promise through Ishmael, the son of Abraham and Hagar, but he would keep his original promise by giving Abraham and Sarah a child of their own, even in their old age. God is going to work two miracles. First, Abraham would have a son, his own son. Second, he would make him very fruitful and make him literally into many nations. God was going to bless Abraham and his descendants generation after generation. In fact, God would bless him so much that it would be an everlasting covenant. Because for the covenant to be everlasting means that one of those descendants has to be everlasting. We and all human beings have our own life expectancy. We have a beginning and we have an end. If this is going to be an everlasting covenant, then that means that there will have to be one special descendant who would be like Abraham, a human descendant, but also would have to be like God, who has no end, who is everlasting. One of Abraham's descendants would be the Messiah, the Savior. In faith, we know him as Jesus. And finally, God would give to Abraham the land of Canaan, literally the promised land for his future descendants. The promised land would be an everlasting possession. Again, it would be everlasting because it would be a land far beyond anything on earth. This would be the promised land that would last forever. God fulfilled his promises to Abraham and Sarah. And doing so, he has kept his promises to you and I. Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham, has come. He has come for all peoples, all nations, all generations. He came to bring the promises of God to ultimate fulfillment. He did so to remove the sins of our weak faith, our doubts, our constant desire to have things done our way, to solve problems without even beginning to regard God's will. He did so by his own suffering, his own shed blood on the cross to cover our sins, his own death to pay the wages of sin, his glorious resurrection to conquer death itself. Through Jesus Christ, the promises of God to Abraham and to us are fulfilled. By faith in Jesus, we too are now sons and daughters of Abraham. They told the kids, and you listened as well, but maybe not as closely, so I'm going to repeat it again now. And our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection day we received the Holy Spirit, the day in which our sins were forgiven, the day in which we became an heir of eternal life, God gave us a new name. Christian. This is who we are now. More importantly, it is whose we are. We are Christ's. When the Father looks at you, he sees his Son. And he keeps his promises to you. He gives to us a new covenant in his blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. His covenant, sealed in the holy, precious blood, strengthens our faith and keeps us in faith to life everlasting. Life everlasting in the promise. God made promises to Abraham. The promises seemed impossible, unbelievable, to an old man and his old wife. But God kept his unbelievable promises to Abraham and to us. All the promises were fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he came for you and me. Now we have new names. Now we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the everlasting covenant. We have the promised land. Unbelievable promises indeed. Praise God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, to life eternal. Amen. As your health enables, please stand. And in response to the written and proclaimed word of God, we confess our common Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed and turn on page 8. Together we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From In our prayers this morning, update on my father-in-law, the Reverend Dr. Walter Marsis. He was scheduled to have heart ablation on Thursday. He was not able to get it done. He went home, been very weak the last couple of days. Well, he's got aortic stenosis and it's just not looking good. Tried to talk to him yesterday. He was resting, talked to my mother-in-law, had a good conversation with her and prayer with her. Last night he went back into the hospital, not by ambulance, but by a nephew. And there's risks because of his blood clots. He's still in arrhythmia and he has fluid on the lungs. The fluid is not going to get off the lungs until his heart gets back into proper beating. There's risks involved if he has the procedure. There's risks involved if he doesn't have the procedure. They're meeting with, he's at Cleveland Clinic, the best place in the country for heart, but he's getting different responses from what different doctors says. I believe last night's doctors gave him the clearest message of what the risks are, and so they're going to be meeting tomorrow, and they'll make that decision. I believe they're going to try to do it, because his life is not much longer if they don't do it. If they do it, there could be risk. There's a risk of stroke, and there's a risk of death. There's a risk of death right now at 80 years old because he cannot breathe because of the stenosis. He needs his heart to get back in the rhythm. And so we lift Walter up, my mother-in-law, Judy, the family. We also add to our prayers this morning, Avalyn, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that name right, just had the spelling of it, didn't know how to pronounce it, Sandra Parsley's aunt, who was taken to a hospital in Abilene with a heart attack yesterday. So we lift up Avalyn in our prayers this morning as well. Ask your health enables, please stand for prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all Christians, that the Holy Spirit might enable us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Christ through this troubled life into heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that all servants of the church may fulfill the ministries committed to them, that we may richly, each boldly confess Christ before the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and perseverance, that we might neither shun our Lord's suffering nor our own, and that we might be delivered out of the hand of the wicked and redeemed from the grasp of the ruthless, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that even as God blessed and multiplied Abraham, all mothers with child might be protected and all fathers equipped to lead and raise their households in the fear and love of God, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord, to whom belongs all kingship and rule over the nations, would bless Joseph, our president, and those who govern to rule wisely and in accord with his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in need of healing and restoration, including all those listed on Great Sprays, Avalyn, and those we name in our hearts. That they may bear their crosses and endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. Heavenly Father, receive our praise this day for St. Peter and his confession that Jesus is the Christ. We rejoice that your Son builds his church upon this rock and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Keep us in this faith all our days. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and who has taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for some announcements. Ms. Carroll, go first.
Okay, I brought some friends to help me make this announcement today. If you'll read my newsletter, we have something real special coming up next Sunday. It's invite your parents to Bibleville and Youth Room, but it's not just parents. Any member of the congregation or any visitor is welcome to just come and see what goes on in Bibleville. So we're looking forward to sharing some of the things that we do on Sunday morning with the members of our church and especially with our parents. So these kids are here this morning to tell you why you should come and see.
We can learn about God together.
We can open our Bibles together.
We can play games together.
We can pray together.
We can learn the Bible verses together.
What is the Bible verse next week?
For Lord your God is a merciful God. Deuteronomy 4:31.
And what about the law and gospel? Are we going to learn that?
The law tells us that sin in the fallen creation causes us to lose hope. We think even God is against us.
The gospel tells us that though we feel overwhelmed, God causes all things to work together for good, for the sake of his son, Jesus, who has borne my sin on the cross.
And what's the real reason we should come together next week?
To play games.
To play games and...
have fun.
All right, have fun. That's what can happen in Bibleville, and we do have fun at the same time being in the Word of God. So, that was the Bibleville. Now we've got parents in our youth that we want to invite to come to the youth room. I know those are some great rooms. You've seen them, but coming inside and seeing what goes on is really something. So, Bibleville sounds pretty exciting. What about the youth? What's happening in the youth room? How about the youth come over here?
Questions.
What?
Questions.
Questions? What kind of questions?
What is mercy?
What is mercy? That's next week's question.
It can be difficult to show mercy to others.
What do you do when your siblings bother you?
We try to get even, and we try to get even at them, even instead of showing them compassion and mercy.
God showed us mercy in the most profound ways by sending his son, Jesus, to take the punishment that we deserved.
Next Sunday, we will learn together about the mercy that God shows us and how his mercy affects our lives.
Thank you. Sounds to me that this is an opportunity that no one wants to miss. So make sure you're in Bibleville and Youth Room, or split the time between the two next week. And any last remarks? You want to say it together? Go. Come and see. Say it again. Come and
see.
Thank you, guys. You can sit now. Thank you. Who can resist that? You got to want to come just to be with those guys.
Thank you, Ms. Carroll. choose not more.